Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I was thinking of the best way to try to kick off the show here this morning and how to talk about the big game last night. Man, the Bobcats nearly pulled it off. They nearly pulled it off. I'll tell you what, that game last night was so reminiscent. For me, at least, you know, I was in Missoula when the Montana Grizzlies were playing the North Dakota State Bison. I'll say last year, but you get the point. It was, you know, technically back at the end of 2023. Anyway, and it was like, holy cow, it was like neck and neck. You know, it went into double overtime, and I really thought the Bobcats were going to pull it off. But Evan Belt, he did a great write-up for us here late last night that he sent in on the Montana Talks app. And this is a great start. He's scripted the opener for me. I never really script anything, but thankfully when you send us a message, we've got a script in front of us here. Evan Belt says this: at my oldest son's place last night, it was a house divided. His wife is a Montana State alum, while he attended NDSU. So congrats to my son and the NDSU Bison. That's right, I said Bison, not Bison. But congrats also to the MSU Bobcats and touchdown Tommy Malott, the Walter Payton Award winner for the FCS. What a class act. Even his attitude after the game was impeccable. This young man, who is not afraid to profess his Christian faith anytime or anywhere, will have many options, but I, for one, we'll be watching for whatever the Lord has for this incredible young man, an amazing athlete. He and the team never gave up. That shows their fortitude and his incredible leadership. Yeah, what a game. I mean, man, if you watch the first half, I was kind of driving, you know, kids around town and, you know, volleyball practices, things like that. And, man, I tell you what, you know, it's fun to watch a big game on TV. But, man, there is something about listening to a football game on the radio that just has an extra level of excitement, right? It's because you can't see it. So you're almost on the edge of your seat the whole time trying to figure out, wait, what's happening? Oh, man. And so anyway, it was fun listening to the game on the radio as I was driving around town. Then I popped in and started watching the game on TV with some friends. And, man, by halftime it was like, man, is this going to be a game or is this going to be just another blowout? And then, of course, Tommy Malott and the Bobcats came clawing back, cat fighting back. And eventually comes to within 3 points all the way up until the finish. And so, they sure put up a fight and nearly pulled it off. But yeah, what a season, though, nonetheless. And, you know, it's just crazy to think that that was Tommy Malott's last game. I mean, the Butte kid is just had a remarkable career, if you want to call it that, at the collegiate level. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he does next, where he goes next. All right, what are we going to talk about next? We got a lot to talk about today. You can tell my voice is still a little raspy here this morning, so I shot a note over to John Jackson, the Joker from X. I said, hey, man, if you're in the mood for showing up a little early this morning and you want to just come hang out, feel free to show up at any point this morning so that I don't have to sit here. You don't have to hear my raspy voice all morning long. And I told him he can even hang out in Caden's studio if he doesn't, you know, potentially want to be around me coughing up a time or two. But, yeah, back at it.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some cloudiness around early today, otherwise looking at some sunshine as temperatures will top off in the upper 20s to lower 30s. For tonight, we can expect mainly clear skies, lows from the mid to upper teens, and the outlook for Wednesday calls for a mix of clouds and sunshine and a chance for snow showers and mixed precip late. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
The National Fraternal Order of Police recently released its year-end report detailing the number of officers shot in the line of duty during 2024. The FOP states that 342 officers were shot, which is a 9% decrease from 2023, which saw a record 378 officers shot. However, 50 of those officers shot last year were killed. That's up 8% from 2023. The FOP also reports that there were 61 ambush attacks on officers last year, which led to 79 being shot and 18 killed. FOP President Patrick Yost said in a statement that, quote, "Many will often look at this data and just see numbers, but we must remember that they represent heroes, fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters." Yost also called for further action from Congress to protect law enforcement officers, calling continuing violence against them a stain on our society. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
The Montana legislature only meets every other year for about 90 days. That session is now underway after lawmakers were sworn in at the Capitol in Helena. One of the biggest issues facing the legislature this session is judicial reform. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you can see a full primer on judicial reform. Our conversation with former UM constitutional law professor Rob Nadelson and State Senator Tom McGilvery detailing the proposal.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We got another message here waiting for us this morning that came in last night. This one came in from Monty in Roundup. Monty, thanks for the message. Joe Biden would have done a better job giving the Congressional Medal of Freedom to Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy rather than George Soros and Hillary Clinton. Yeah, that at least would have been entertaining, right? By the way, did you see how close Joe Biden got to Hillary there? He went in for the big sniff, didn't he, on the hair when he was putting that medal on Hillary there. But yeah. I had to laugh about the Kermit the Frog reference because over the Christmas break, I'll call it, my wife showed me this video, and I don't know, I haven't really watched Saturday Night Live consistently or much at all, really, since the 1990s, or at least, you know, when Will Ferrell was maybe on more in the early 2000s, but there was this song where it was like, "Christmas time is here," and it's like, "Dink, dink, 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 dink." I don't know if you guys are familiar with that video. Apparently, like, Jimmy Fallon and a few other guys were in the original one, like, singing this "Christmas time is here" song. But then they brought in the Muppets to, like, you know, sing and dance in the background for the remake of it. And Kermit the Frog is just freaking out, and he's flipping his Santa hat everywhere. Anyways, just hysterical. So for about 6 days straight, it was like that song was in my head. Ding, 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 ding. Anyway, freaking hilarious to watch Kermit the Frog freak out like that. I joke that, you know, when I left the office, when I left the radio studios that Friday before Christmas to burn off my remaining vacation time, because usually I don't have that much vacation time because I'll use a little bit of it when I, you know, would leave for my annual military training. And then, you know, because you can either use vacation days or take unpaid leave. So sometimes I would do a blend of both. But anyway, so usually I don't have a lot of actual vacation time because I usually use a good amount of it when I was gone for my military training. Well, I don't have to worry about that now. I'm retired, baby, from that job anyway. And so man, I was like Kermit the Frog in that video. Just, yeah, Christmas time is here. Loving it. All right, let's see. Canadians are probably spinning their Santa hats around, dancing, ding, 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 because Justin Trudeau is resigning. Justin Trudeau is stepping down. Oh, where do we start on this one? You know what? Let's start. Let's hear it from the boys here. Let's start with what the truckers have to say about this. We can get to the politicians later, right? The conservative opposition. Pierre, I just watched a video to figure out how to pronounce his name. Is it Polev? I think it's Polev. Pierre Polev, I think is how he pronounces his name. He had a great video where he was talking about, look, what happens after Trudeau. And you can't just blame Justin Trudeau for the Canadian left's problems, just like you can't just blame Joe Biden or John Tester for the American left's problems. They have a whole corrupted ideology. They have their policies are wrong. Their ideology is flawed. In some ways, their policies are straight up evil. Anyway, and that's what he basically says about, you know, hey, so what's next after Trudeau? But are they just going to put some other liberal in there and, oh, but he or she will be better than Justin Trudeau, so don't worry. No, it's the whole ideology that Justin Trudeau symbolized. It's been an absolute failure and symbolic of the decline of the West overall. That's basically what Paul Lev is saying here. But let's start with the trucker first. Man, you remember when we here in Montana and Americans were standing with our friends in Canada, the truck drivers who were standing up against the COVID BS that they were pulling up in Canada under this tyrant, Justin Trudeau. This is a Canadian trucker, Chris Barber. He was on Fox News yesterday talking about the resignation of Justin Trudeau, the pretty little prime minister of Canada.
Bringing Canadian activist and Freedom Convoy organizer Tamara Leach, along with Canadian truck driver and business owner Chris Barber. What do you think about his resignation, Chris?
I think it's about time. Canada needs a change in this country. We've been through the most vicious, tyrannical mandates in the last 9 years, including the COVID mandates under Trudeau. We've been in trouble up here for quite some time, so this is welcome news, although it isn't good enough with him just stepping down. We would have liked to have seen him lose in an election.
It really is a win. And I'm wondering, as you go and you look toward the future, because there's a lot of talk now, Chris, of the opposition leader, Pierre Poilievre. What would you say about that, Chris?
We've seen some devastating years in Canada as of late. We've seen record housing crisis. We've seen record deficits. We've, under Trudeau, in the last 9 years, this country has seen some of the worst economics in the history of Canada. And so it is something that needs to happen. It is time for him to call this and call an election.
Yeah, and Chris, to you, that very same question. Is this just a snowball that keeps getting bigger? And right now it's happening in the U.S. and in Canada, but you kind of see symptoms of this around the globe.
It's the wokeism in the world right now that's allowing this to take part. We need to stand up, like what we did with Freedom Convoy in February of 2022. We stood to tyranny. And since we've stood, Tamara and I have been run through the courts for the last 3 years. Lawfare has been at an all-time high in this country right now, especially towards anyone that had the audacity to stand up to Trudeau and his government throughout those COVID vaccine mandate years.
Yeah, I mean, if you thought it was crazy here, talk to your Canadian friends or go find a Canadian friend. You'll be glad you did. Talk to your Canadian friends just about how awful it was. I mean, they would literally send the authorities to your... If you were like renting an apartment, if you were there visiting, they would send the authorities to check on you to make sure that you did not leave. And you were not hanging out with anybody else. You had to quarantine for two. And the stupidity of all of that, not just stupidity, the tyranny of it all. All right, let's see. We're going to talk more. I'll play the audio of what Pierre Poilievre, how did I pronounce it? Anyway, yeah, you'll hear it.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's been a wild, wacky ride for the healthcare industry over the last few years. The whole notion that healthcare was recession-proof was blown up by the COVID downturn. Yes, at the outbreak of the pandemic, hospitals were jammed, but demand for most other services plummeted. The sudden swing produced outcomes that were unfamiliar. The overall price index of medical care, which historically has grown faster than overall inflation, actually fell. Employment declined. Nursing home jobs were down 20% in Montana, both due to demand drops and a wave of retirements. Financial pressures on hospitals large and small were intense. Has normality finally returned? The answer is mostly yes, but normal is both good and bad. Disruptions have eased. Labor markets are healing. Healthcare is once again growing in most parts of the state, powered as it always has been by demographics and ever more sophisticated care. But so are healthcare costs, and that's not as welcome. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The 118th Congress is now in the books. Now on to the 119th Congress. And here are some stats about the last Congress, thanks in part to C-SPAN. For instance, consider the Senate. Nominations dominated Senate votes, constituting a third of all roll call tallies. Senate cloture votes to end filibusters comprised another third of all Senate votes in both sessions. Since each nomination usually required a cloture vote, the Senate spent 70% 70% of its time voting on nominations. Hours in session in both the House and Senate continue to decline. Pro forma days, where one chamber or the other just gavels in and out after a few seconds, consumed 30% of total days that Congress met during the 118th Congress. Who spoke on the House floor the most? The top three spots go to Republicans. Agriculture Committee Chairman Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania led the way. He spoke 179 times on the floor last Congress. That's ahead of Georgia Republican Buddy Carter and California Republican Doug LaMalfa. The top Democrat was Don Davis of North Carolina. He spoke 150 times. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Are you? Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, with new members of Congress seated in both the House and Senate, new Senate Majority Leader John Thune has laid out his priorities, including a new farm bill, as the 119th Congress is officially underway in Washington, D.C. And Thune says he understands rural America, where he started life in a small South Dakota town.
The town of Myrtle, population today roughly around 500 people. We didn't even have a traffic light, and I wouldn't have had it any other way. Life in Myrtle had a beautiful simplicity. Sure, it had one or two drawbacks. With a population that small, we Thune kids could be sure that our parents would have heard all about any of our misdemeanors before we even made it home.
And he says that rural upbringing led him to value the land, agriculture, along with the importance of community values that stuck with him as he rose through the ranks in the House and then the Senate. Thune succeeds Kentucky's Mitch McConnell as Senate GOP leader and now as majority leader, setting out a very aggressive and early agenda, with many parts of that agenda important to producers in rural America.
Extending the tax relief Republicans delivered during the first Trump administration, lifting burdensome and expensive government regulations to help American businesses and families flourish, bringing appropriations bills to the floor for serious deliberation so that we make the best possible use of taxpayer dollars. An overdue farm bill to update farm programs for farmers and ranchers to reflect current agriculture needs.
Thune also sits on the Senate Agriculture Committee and remains a strong advocate for farm programs and opening new markets for farm exports. His rise to the top Senate leadership post could make him a catalyst for speedy farm bill action, though any farm bill will still need bipartisan support to pass. Stay with us. We'll have more Ag News right after this. The American Sheep Industry Association's annual convention is headed for Scottsdale, Arizona, January 15th through the 18th. And the Western Ag Network's coverage this year is sponsored by the American Lamb Board. We'll bring you the latest news, information, and policy impacting U.S. sheep producers, plus important updates on lamb checkoff projects like Climate Smart Grants and the Lamb Jam Tour. For more information about the 2025 ASI Annual Convention in Scottsdale, Arizona, visit sheepusa.org.
It's that time of year again, and Montana Farmers Union would like to invite you to attend our annual women's conferences, which provide space for restoration, connection, and inspiration. We have two conferences available this year, one in Malta, January 31st through February 2nd, and one at Fairmont Hot Springs, February 7th through the 9th. Join us for one or both of the events and cultivate relationships with rural and agricultural women and organizational leaders who want to grow a bright future for all ladies in ag. To learn more, visit MontanaFarmersUnion.com and reserve your spot today.
Well, like others, the National Pork Producers Council is commending President Biden for signing the Beagle Brigade Act into law. It provides statutory authority and reliable funding to the National Detector Dog Training Center. Now, the U.S. Customs and Border Protection trains beagles and other dogs at U.S. ports of entry to spot contraband fruits, vegetables, and meat products in international passenger baggage, mailed packages, and even vehicles entering the United States. The Beagle Brigade Agriculture Canine Teams bolster national security by performing critically important inspections at ports of entry. Bottom line, these beagles help to ensure that foreign animal diseases do not travel past our borders. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
Okay, a couple of quick things. We obviously got to talk about the big vote yesterday, the presidential election certification. Great photo on X of the entire Montana congressional delegation in the House, literally in the House of Representatives, casting their vote, certifying the presidential election results. And then it was kind of funny because there was Speaker of the House Mike Johnson in the background just like photobombing it. I mean, he was ready. He was like, oh, I see these guys all up here getting their little group photo. And he was photobombing it in the background. Okay, let me play this. This is Brett Baer. The Trump War Room shared this via X. This is Brett Baer on Special Report describing the significance of this moment yesterday.
Donald J. Trump is the 47th president of the United States. This is official now, 312 to 226. It's in the books. But if you just give a moment of perspective here, over the last 2 years of this president's presidential run, think about all that has happened. The June 27th debate that changed everything in the minds of people, even though other people had said that was happening already, the mental decline of President Biden. The assassination attempt on former President Trump, now President-elect, and then a second assassination attempt, a change of candidates, the debate that we saw, and all of the money that was spent, billions and billions of dollars on this election. This is the culmination of really Phoenix from the ashes politically for Donald J. Trump. And this is official today.
All right. There you go. But did any of you watch the video? I mean, you know, you at least have to hand it to Kamala Harris. I mean, she is still getting paid to do the job, so she had to be there. But still, she had to show up to certify her own defeat. I think she's one of only three candidates that are sitting vice presidents that have to be there to officially certify their own defeat. But man, it was kind of funny watching Speaker of the House Mike Johnson in the background. And I think he was just smiling and just being courteous and the nice guy that he always is. And also he was obviously celebrating the fact that Donald J. Trump will be the next president of the United States. But it was just kind of funny seeing Kamala Harris standing there and then Mike Johnson smiling in the background. It was like, this was the analogy that came to my mind anyway. I was going to joke with John Jackson, the Joker from X, when he's with us here later this morning on the show. The look on Mike Johnson's face, it's like, to me, he's like one of your kids. If their brother or sister is getting chewed out because they got in trouble, and, you know, you're sitting there chewing out the one kid for whatever they did wrong, and then the other kid sitting in the background kind of laughing and smirking. That's what Speaker of the House Mike Johnson looked like yesterday. Pretty funny. Let's see. There's one other interesting angle about the swearing-in ceremony for the United States senators. I'll save that one for later because I want to get back to this, this Canada story and the big news of the fall of the left and the fall of leftist Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. I'll play Pierre, whatever his name is, remarks after the word national monuments. Just keep Biden focused on California instead of Montana. That was my reaction when I first saw that story earlier this morning. All right, here we go. This is the conservative opposition, in, if you want to call them that, in Canada, Pierre Poilievre. I think that's how you pronounce it, Pierre Poilievre.
Good day. Canadians desperate to turn the page on this dark chapter in our history might be relieved today that Justin Trudeau is finally leaving. But what has really changed? Every Liberal MP in power today and every potential Liberal leadership contender fighting for the top job helped Justin Trudeau break the country over the last 9 years. All Liberal politicians actively worked to pass into law the job-killing inflationary carbon tax, a tax that Carbon Tax Carney endorsed in his book. All supported a law quadrupling the tax over the next 5 years. All voted for or actively supported Trudeau's out-of-control spending, debt, and immigration. All passed Trudeau's housing policies that doubled the cost of homes. All Liberal politicians helped pass catch-and-release bail and house arrest for the most rampant reoffenders, policies that increased violent crime 50%, gun crime 116%, and hate crime by 250%. So given that Liberal MPs and leadership contenders unanimously supported everything Trudeau has done, why dump him now, right before an election? Have they had a change of heart? Is it because they feel guilty that they doubled housing costs, hiked taxes, unleashed crime, broke immigration, forced a quarter of the population into poverty. No. They continued supporting Trudeau when he did all of those things. No, their only objection is that he is no longer popular enough to win an election and keep them in power. They want to protect their pensions and paycheck by sweeping their hated leader under the rug months before an election to trick you and then do it all over again. Now, while leaderless liberals focus on saving their jobs and fighting each other for power, the country spirals out of control, an out-of-control housing emergency, an out-of-control migrant crisis, an out-of-control $62 billion deficit, not to mention tariff threats from the United States. Oh, and another NDP liberal carbon tax hike kicks in this April 1st.
All right, we'll play more of that. I think there's only about another minute or so of Pierre Poilievre's response to Trudeau stepping down. How reminiscent is that, though, of what we've seen with the left in the United States, in America? You know, basically, the way their parliamentary system works, it's definitely odd to those of us here in the United States. But Trudeau is stepping down, and then the left up there is hoping that if they put another face instead of Mr. Blackface, Justin Trudeau, as the face of their party, that they might be able to salvage a potential electoral loss, kind of like when they kicked Joe Biden to the curb down here in America and put Kamala at the top of the ticket instead. They're hoping that they, I guess, might do the same thing in Canada. Anyway, we're going to talk more about this story. We've got a great guest coming up right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, for those of you that join us regularly here in this 6 o'clock hour of Montana Talks, every Friday we've been playing the weekly legislative update from the Montana Family Foundation. Well, that's been a weekly update because the Montana legislature only meets 90 days or so every other year. Well, they're in the middle of the legislative session now. And so now Jeff is providing a daily legislative update. So I think we'll try to play that at the same exact time every single day for you, as long as the timing works out. So we'll have that for you here in just a few minutes. I see his first update of the session is already available. All right, let's jump right into it here. Our next guest, hope I pronounced the name right here, Brylan Hollihand, is the RNC Youth Advisory Council Chairman, and here to talk more about this story, about the fall of the pretty little Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Canada. Brylan, first off, I hope I pronounced your name right, and thanks for being with us.
Aaron, good morning. Happy Tuesday. That was the best pronunciation I've got all morning. You're the sixth interview of the day, so that was spot on. I'm impressed.
Hey, perfect. All right. Well, I don't know. I still don't know how to pronounce this French guy's name up there. Is it Pierre Poilievre? I even watched a video, and I still can't remember it. But
yeah, it's an exciting day in Canada. You know, we just had this kind of what we call a morning in America again in November, and that was kind of morning in Canada again. And I think the way that this ties back to American politics, people are looking at this story like, oh, you know, how does this relate to us? How is this even relevant? This shows that the spread of populism is widespread, that this wildfire that Donald Trump started with the populist movement, where he rode down that golden escalator back in 2015, you remember those famous images, it has now turned this MAGA movement internationally. We've seen Argentina, we've seen France, we've seen Italy, now we're seeing Canada all turn conservative because they're rejecting big government, because they're rejecting these woke liberal ideas, this ideology, all because Donald Trump rode down the golden escalator. The American people are free starting January 20th, and we're hoping our neighbors up north will be free as well.
That's right. What we've seen, especially during the COVID BS years and the open borders and the failed foreign policy, it's not just been a failure of Joe Biden and Democrats in America. Yeah. It's really symbolic of the decline across the broader Western world, where the left took over a lot of these governments, and now a lot of these leftist governments are starting to fall. And so while the leftist takeover has symbolized the decline of the West, hopefully this now not only is about making America great again, but about making the Western world great again as well.
Yes, we need to put that on some hats and bumper stickers pretty fast. That will look pretty good on all the Canadian cars up there. But I think the point that you made first off is very accurate. COVID. I think, you know, we thought we had it rough with COVID. Our neighbors up north in Canada, they were locked down a year and a half after we were back at school, back at church, back at work. It was unfortunate, really, what happened up there. They were in this lockdown state. We remember what happened with the truck drivers, and they still had masks strapped to the face as of a few months ago. Stuff like that is why people got fed up. And that's what happened in November here in America. It's now happening in January up north. It's spreading like wildfire.
Well, and it's important that people never forget what they did when they were given the ultimate power that they felt they had over these last 4+ years. Because now they're going to go into pretend mode. They're going to go into, some of them won't even call themselves Democrats. They'll say, oh, well, we're independents. And we're not really party labeled folks. Look, never forget what they did to this country, what they did to Canada, what they did to the broader Western world. Because if these people rise back to power, it's their policies that are a failure. It's their agenda that's the failure. It's not just, blackface Justin Trudeau. It's not just, sleepy Joe. I didn't mean to rhyme there. It's their failed ideology across the board. And that's what people need to understand.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the American people didn't forget. And I had a journalist from the New York Times call the other day in panic mode. She couldn't understand how Trump won so many young people over. And she was freaking out. And she was like, what is it? What are we missing? And I said, it's pretty simple to me. Young people didn't forget. We didn't forget that you shut us out of school for a year and a half. We didn't forget that you strapped that diaper to our face. We didn't forget that you told us we were evil, horrible human beings, Aaron. If we tried to go visit our granny for Thanksgiving dinner, you couldn't do that. You had to social distance from 6 feet, stand in your granny's yard, but you can't go eat her chicken and dressing. Stuff like that is what fed people up. And we remembered that when we went to the ballot box. That's why we voted for Donald Trump. It wasn't January 6th. It wasn't threats to democracy. It wasn't abortion rights. It wasn't anything other than the fact that it was the price of eggs, the price of gas, the price of living fed people up.
Well, and that's why I thought it would be interesting to chat with you this morning because of your, because you kind of representing the youth. You're on the RNC Youth Advisory Council. You're the chairman of that council because if anything, there was this thought that, well, yeah, Joe Biden, I mean, man, he's. It's not just his age and the fact that he's old. It's the fact that he doesn't have the abilities anymore to do basic functions as president of the United States. But with Trudeau, he was still a younger, more attractive, assuming to the younger generation type of person. And so that's, again, I think symbolic of the fact that, look, you can be hopey, changey, younger looking candidate all you want, but it seems like the younger generations are starting to realize this. I hope anyway, the failed ideology that's driving Trudeau and these others.
Aaron, you're exactly right. I voted for the first time in November. It boils down to this very simply: authenticity and relatability. Donald Trump has it. He's one of the older world leaders on the international stage. Justin Trudeau didn't have it. He's one of the younger world leaders. If one of the youngest world leaders in the world can't win over youth voters and is actually having to resign because of his lack of confidence to support by his own constituents, if this old guy Donald Trump over here is actually relating with us, he's on TikTok. He's going to college campuses. He's talking to us. He won the youth vote for the first Republican presidential candidate in 2 decades. Something's different there. The guy's authentic, and it's clearly working for President Trump.
Now, you might be too young for this. Are you familiar with the band Five for Fighting?
I'm not, but I'll have to look them up now.
Well, now you got to, because so the Daily Wire had this. It was right before Christmas, so you might have missed it. The lead singer for that band, Five for Fighting, wrote a song about Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and how he never played hockey. How he never played hockey, and it's obvious that he never played hockey. Anyway, go check it out. It's freaking hilarious. But Brylan Hollihan, great to have you on the show. Hey, if we got some young people, I know we do, listening to this show, and they want to be kind of involved with what you're doing on the Youth Council at the national level, what can they do?
Yeah, absolutely, and we'd love to have anybody listen and reach out to me on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. It's all just at Brown Hollihan. Send me a message. We'll get you plugged in.
All right. Hey, great to have you on the show. Hey, it was funny. Before I went to the last break, I said, hey, we got a great guest coming up after this. And I was like, wait a minute. I don't even know this guy. I've never interviewed this guy before. But but luckily, my intuitions or the Freudian slip just ended up working out because that was great. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Now we're friends, so we can call it a great guest.
There we go. Now I can say it and not be like, wait a minute, I don't know if this is going to be. Now we know this is a great guest. All right. Appreciate your time. Let's see. Pierre Poilievre, that's what I'm going with here. I think I've got about one more minute left of his remarks where he was talking about how, you know, Trudeau, it's not just Trudeau that was the failure. It was their ideology. It was all of the left in Canada that backed up Trudeau. So let's cut back in. I think there's about another minute or so to go here.
Everything's out of control. And now the government is out of control. This cannot go on. We need a carbon tax election now. To choose between the NDP Liberal costly coalition that taxes your food, punishes your work, doubles your housing costs, and unleashes crime and drugs in your community. Or common sense conservatives who will axe the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime. Canadians can take back control of their lives and their country. Take back control of our border. Take back control of immigration. Take back control of spending, deficits, and inflation. Take back control of our streets by locking up criminals, banning drugs, treating addiction, and stopping gun smugglers. We'll cap spending, axe taxes, reward work, build homes, uphold family, stop crime, secure borders, rearm our forces, restore our freedom, and put Canada first. All with one mission. To bring home Canada's promise that every hardworking Canadian gets a powerful paycheck and pension that buys affordable food and homes on safe streets where all are united for the country we know and love. Canada first, Canada last, Canada always. Let's bring it home.
Yeah, very Trump-style message there, as you could hear with the close. That was Pierre Poilievre sharing his remarks on X. Very Trump-sounding. The only thing that would have made it more Trumpian is if he finished after that very poetic ending by saying, oh, yeah, and Trudeau never played hockey. Well, Canada needs somebody who played hockey to run Canada. All right, let's see here. Oh, yeah, we've got the legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation coming up right after this. In the 7 o'clock hour of the show, I do have more audio from the state legislature. As the legislative session is now underway, talking judicial reform and so much more. So I'll try to get a little organized for you for the 7 o'clock hour of the program. Plus, we're taking your calls as well in the 7 o'clock hour. 406-294-0970 or message us on the Montana Talks app.
Up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
I'm telling all of you right now, you're going to have to stay engaged. This is not, oh, I voted for Trump, I did my part, I'm done. Because they have a very slim majority. We saw this unfold last week with the vote for Speaker. America now has an opportunity to return to constitutional order that our framers and our founders wanted. Government by, of, and for the people, not just words. Limited government. We say it all the time. Do we really want limited government? Because you're going to get an opportunity to have limited government and greater freedom. Donald Trump needed your help in 24. He will need your help to achieve what is a very ambitious agenda, especially with a slim majority in Congress.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, you said bye-bye to big government and you want limited government. You voted for that. Well, now it's time to trim the fat from big wireless. If you are still using the big carriers, Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile, I ask, why are you doing that? Because my cell phone company, Pure Talk, a veteran-owned company, gives you the exact same service. They use the same cell towers. You get the same 5G network. You get better customer service. And they're based here in the U.S. And you pay half the price for the exact same thing. And that's right. There's simply no need to spend $85, $100 a month per person on your wireless bill. Not when you can get unlimited talk, text, 15 gigs of data with mobile hotspot for just $35 a month. And by the way, the average family of four saves about $1,000 a year with Pure Talk. Make the switch. You simply dial #250. You say the keyword, save now. Do it now. You save an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250, keyword, save now from our friends at Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see some cloudiness around early today, otherwise looking at some sunshine as temperatures will top off in the upper 20s to lower 30s. For tonight, we can expect mainly clear skies, lows from the mid to upper teens, and the outlook for Wednesday calls for a mix of clouds and sunshine and a chance for snow showers and mixed precip late. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
The Montana legislature only meets every other year for about 90 days. That session is now underway after lawmakers were sworn in at the Capitol in Helena. One of the biggest issues facing the legislature this session is judicial reform. Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. If you go to MontanaTalks.com, you can see a full primer on judicial reform. Our conversation,
part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Visit LifeLock.com and save up to 40% off your first year with promo code CLAY. Terms apply.
This is where Montana talks.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
And here you go, the legislative update from Jeff Laslofi with the Montana Family Foundation.
Members elect of the House of Representatives of the 69th Legislature of the State of Montana, please come to order. We will now have the posting of the colors by the Montana National Guard. Please rise.
And with that, the Montana Legislature began its 2025 session just as it has for the past 136 years. And just as we have for the past 20 years, this legislative update will switch to a daily broadcast for the entire length of the four-month session. That said, opening day is one of our favorite days. It's a day filled with hope and optimism. Families, rather than lobbyists, fill the House and Senate galleries. Republicans and Democrats are still greeting each other with big smiles, handshakes, and hugs, and the possibilities for a successful session seem endless. This is especially true for freshmen who still can't believe they got elected. For the old guard and lobbyists who have been around for a while, exuberance is tempered by experience and political reality, but even they get caught up in the euphoria of a new session. This is especially true for Republicans who are still trying to analyze the full range of possibilities that resulted from November's electoral red wave, the results of which were on full display at a swearing-in ceremony for the statewide elected officials on the steps of the Capitol. For the first time in our lifetimes, Republicans control every single statewide elected office. It's a huge opportunity, but also a huge responsibility, as it's up to them and them alone to perform. As the minority party, Democrats have no power to push an agenda. Their wish list is basically dead on arrival. Their job is to criticize and hold the majority party's feet to the fire. The Republicans' job, on the other hand, is to govern. They are the party entirely responsible for the final outcome of the session. As was made clear in speeches on the House and Senate floor, two of the biggest issues facing this legislature are tax reform and judicial reform. For 2 years, legislators have heard from their constituents that property taxes are out of control. As a result, tax reform will be front and center. In addition, legislators are laser-focused on the judiciary. In a speech yesterday on the Senate floor, Senate Majority Leader Tom McGillivray said, quote, "The voters want court reform. Article 7 of the Montana Constitution, no less than 20 times, says that the legislature plays a role in developing a judicial system for the state of Montana." He went on to say, quote, "I'm going to be blunt here. Republican voters are tired of the fact that they elect Republican majorities by overwhelming margins. They elect a Republican governor that signs bills that are passed by overwhelming margins in the legislature, only to see partisan judges and partisan courts veto those bills," end quote. To which we say, amen. At this point, there are at least 27 bills dealing with all aspects of judicial reform. This promises to be an exciting year at both the state and federal levels, and through this daily broadcast, we promise to keep you up to date and informed. In addition to reporting on specific pieces of legislation, we'll take you behind the scenes to the inner workings of the legislature and introduce you to the players that make it happen. Our team is in the Capitol every day and will take you along with us clear to the end of the session in late April. It promises to be a wild ride, so buckle up and let's get going. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laslofi reminding you that this government is your government and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right, and thanks to Jeff Lasloffy for that daily service. Very informative update you're going to see if you miss it from the last go-around. Not only covers the important social issues, but all of the other big debates of the day as well. So it's going to be a very informative update.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
It's been a wild, wacky ride for the healthcare industry over the last few years. The whole notion that healthcare was recession-proof was blown up by the COVID downturn. Yes, at the outbreak of the pandemic, hospitals were jammed, but demand for most other services plummeted. The sudden swing produced outcomes that were unfamiliar. The overall price index of medical care, which historically has grown faster than overall inflation, actually fell. Employment declined. Nursing home jobs were down 20% in Montana, both due to demand drops and a wave of retirements. Financial pressures on hospitals large and small were intense. Has normality finally returned? The answer is mostly yes, but normal is both good and bad. Disruptions have eased. Labor markets are healing. Healthcare is once again growing in most parts of the state, powered as it always has been by demographics and ever more sophisticated care. But so are healthcare costs, and that's not as welcome. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.